When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be here another week. And I'm so looking forward to our show today. I'm actually on the East Coast right now in Maryland, and this is the time of year. It's getting nippy out here. So I'm so looking forward to our show because it's holiday time. And today, instead of just discussing real estate, we always throw stuff in. We are going to go over a lot more, and I'm really thrilled to have Clive Sworsky on today. He's host and producer of a Live with Clive TV show. He gives back all the time, and the show is a TV show where today's top singer-songwriters thrive. The show's actually been in existence since 2004 and in its current form since 2007. To date, Clive has interviewed more than 270 singer-songwriters, all of whom are shown on the website for the show at alivewithclive.tv. He's an amazing, amazing person, and he really walks his talk, and he believes in serving, and that's part of what we'll get into with what he's done. And he's got a lot of good information to give us, special metaphors and tidbits, and I think a lot of people during the holidays, we need it, you know. So since this is the end of the year, we're having this show to give cheer and bring joy and not just talk about real estate. Of course, real estate brings in everything. He is also a student and practitioner of the law of attraction. Clive also has created the website called newlawofattractionsecrets.com. to share information and resources to enable people to obtain as much benefit as possible from the law of attraction. Today, Clive is going to share and discuss several powerful metaphors to provide you with the resilience you need to overcome challenges on your path to fulfilling your dreams. Boy, do we all need that, huh? We always, especially different issues that go on, and this time of year is really special. A lot of people really need it with more and more going on. So without further delay, I'd like to welcome Clive Sworsky. Hey.
Hi, Natalie. How are you?
How are you? I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great, thanks. Great to be back on the show. I always love interacting with you on your radio show and seeing what emerges.
I just love it. I remember meeting you way back, right? It's been like probably more than 11 years ago. It was, I think, Lynn Rose, that way back.
Yeah, we were on a program called The Goal Getter.
Yeah, okay, that's where it, wow, gosh. It's amazing how time flies. It's going to be 2016 already. And I am so thrilled for you to come on today, and thank you. It's just a pleasure always for you to be on. And this is a really special time of year with what you're talking about and what you're doing. I think, you know, Christmas and the holidays and Hanukkah, and there's so many holidays now. It's just you hear a lot of cheer and people giving and giving back, and it's people like you that make such a difference that are giving back all the time, all along, all throughout the year. So I'm really privileged to talk to you today about everything. So,
well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're up in New York, right?
Correct.
So you're getting, how's your weather there?
Well, I just got back from a very nice walk. It hasn't gotten too cold yet. So I love the weather all year round. It changes. You can never get comfortable. There's always new weather to deal with.
I love it. Is it raining there, or is it too cold, or it's not? You said it's not too cold.
It's been a little rainy, but I was able to go for a walk, so it was great.
I really like the rain. It's raining down here in Maryland too, but it's not icing up yet. So it's and I love it. It's so nice to have seasons though, and appreciate everything that's out there. And
mm-hmm.
Well, tell us how you started the show and what you're doing with the up and coming singers.
Well, I started out my career as a tax lawyer, and that was after 8.5 years of study. I got
Wow.
4 different degrees, and I practiced at 3 different law firms in Manhattan as a tax lawyer for about 8.5 years. And then I became a financial advisor, and then a stock and options trader. And at the beginning of the millennium, there was a huge bear market in the stock market, and my life got turned upside down, and it caused me to assess what path I was on and why I was on it. And I realized that I had been living my life based on a program that was put in place for me. And I hadn't really brought any original thinking to it. I hadn't really listened to my heart. I hadn't really gotten in touch with my heart and what I really wanted for my life. And through a series of courses that I have done, in 2004, I was in this one particular course, and we did this exercise where we had to ask each other what we love about our lives. And we had 15 seconds with about 150
wow.
people. So 15 seconds, and then we spoke, and then we listened with 150 different people. And in the course of doing this exercise, I realized that I love music, because I kept realizing, and I love watching VH1 Top 20 videos on a Saturday morning. And I asked myself, what is it about this show that I find so appealing? And that the music, the creativity, and the self-expression. And then I realized, well, if I love that so much, if that is what gives me joy, why am I only spending 0.1% of every week doing that, and 99.9% of activities that I don't get so much joy from? And so over the course of time, I created the show, and I realized I enjoy interviewing singer-songwriters in particular, because I love having them on the show. They sing their songs. They take a concept, and they express it in the form of a song with music. And I find it incredibly creative and innovative, and I just love that whole process and being in that world. So
wow.
Ever since then, I haven't found anything that is more fulfilling yet. I mean, I there are a lot of things I do that are fulfilling, but I cannot not do the show. It's just a part of me. It's part of my DNA almost.
Wow.
So the point about doing the show is that I don't have a big budget for it. I'm not affiliated with any network, and I want to maintain control of what I create with the show. And I don't want to be in a situation where somebody can walk into my office and say, sorry, you're fired, because that's happened
right.
to me, and I don't want to go through that again. I want to maintain control. And so as a result, I've had to think of ways to keep the show going without any financial backing, really, from the outside world. And so here I am, a man with a vision and a dream, and all I have really is my thoughts. And so I look around and I see others create what they want. Other very successful people create what they want with their thoughts. And so it's put me on a path of exploration and investigation to find out, to discover what thoughts I need to think and how do I need to think them so that I can fulfill my dream of having my show be known around the world, my brand, Alive with Clive, be known around the world. Now, it's a work in progress, and every day I wake up and I put my heart and soul into it, and every day I make some progress, but I deal with challenges. And so in each show that I do, I start off with a segment called Clive's Words of Wisdom, and I share in that segment, I share thoughts I have about what it takes to stay true to your dream. And so in the course of being engaged in the show and wanting to fulfill this dream more than anything, it's occurred to me that from programs I've listened to, it occurred to me that metaphors play such a vital role in causing us to think the thoughts that are going to keep us on track. Now, particular program I've mentioned to you that I've been listening to over and over again, like really over and over again, every day I listen to this program. It's called The 11 Forgotten Laws, and it's by Bob Proctor and Mary Morrissey. And I came across this program about 2 years ago because, as you know, The Secret came out in around 2006, 2007, and it was a real smash hit all over the world. Millions of people got in touch with The Secret, but what happened was people did not achieve the success they thought they were going to achieve with The Secret. And so The Secret is about the law of attraction, but there's a lot more to the law of attraction than meets the eye. It's not just think thoughts, sit on your couch, and what you want will show up. There's a lot more involved. And so I became interested, fascinated, curious about what is it going to take for me to have the law of attraction working as efficiently as and as powerfully as possible so that I could fulfill my dream as quickly as possible. And so I'm on this journey, I'm engaged in this exploration, and every day I learn more and more. Like, I've listened to this program, The 11 Forgotten Laws. I must have listened to it by now maybe 40 times. But every single time I listen to it, I have a new insight. Because when I'm listening, I realize that I hear something, and then I start to think about something in my life. And while the recording is going, I'm no longer paying attention. So just because I listened, I had it on, doesn't mean I've actually absorbed it. So
the chatter.
So I need to really listen to it over. And sometimes I'll repeat the same section 4 or 5 times on the same day, just so that I make sure I absorb what is contained in this program. So as a result, there are certain metaphors that I've connected to, and I've put down on paper, and I think about all the time whenever I face a challenge. And I've put these metaphors, I mean, I've come up with probably over 100 metaphors by now.
Really? Do you paste them on your mirrors and in other places too, or you just pretty much memorize them?
I have Evernote on my computer.
Oh. Okay.
And so every time I think of a metaphor, I jot it down, I type it into my Evernote notes where I have the metaphors. But for the purpose of this call, I've selected about 9 or 10 metaphors. Now, I don't know if we'll be able to get through all of them. but we can start with a couple and see how we do. And the metaphors I've chosen for this call actually are, all of them start with a letter that is represented by the word metaphor. So I have a metaphor that starts with the letter M. And so let's start with that one, okay?
Okay, great.
So the M is for magnet. So you mentioned that we're at the time of the year where it's the holiday season, and for a lot of people, maybe for everybody, they start to think about the year that has just gone by, and they start to think about the year ahead, and they start to think about how the year ahead is going to be different from the year that's just gone by. People tend to assess, well, how am I doing? Am I really living the life I want to live? And so in going through that process, it's a great idea to think of the magnet. Now, the concept is that we attract into our life whatever we're thinking about.
That's true.
The old affirmation, the old saying, you become what you think about all the time or most of the time. So whatever we think about comes into reality. And so our life at this particular moment is the sum total of all the thoughts that we've been thinking, whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not. The combination of thoughts that we've been thinking have led to us being where we are with the material possessions we have and the material possessions we don't have, with our desires fulfilled and unfulfilled. So, like, that's a very important step. That's like a threshold step to look at, like, what is so right now, and then to get connected to, yeah, I'm the one who thought the thoughts that has gotten me to where I am right now. Now, as a threshold matter, it's really very valuable to ask yourself, well, have thoughts of fear been dominant, or have thoughts of desire been dominant? Now, I like to think of fear as the 800-pound gorilla. And I like to think of desire for most people as the 98-pound weakling. And they're engaged in an arm wrestling contest. And so most of the time, fear is going to prevail. And so if people don't have what they want, if they're not satisfied with what they have, chances are that fear has been dominating their thoughts, wittingly or unwittingly. And so as people begin to assess what's been going on in their lives at this time, they need to really get clear, has fear been the driving force? Or is there a way for my desires to be expressed? Now, for desires to be expressed takes a lot of courage. It takes risk.
Express to tell people, or just expressed in general in your thoughts?
To be fully self-expressed. In other words, to be doing what you love to do. It takes courage because our programming is to make sure we live life so that everything is predictable and safe.
Right.
And generally, when we want to express a desire, if we want to fulfill a passion or a dream, it requires getting out of that paradigm and stepping out into a zone of discomfort.
I love it. I just wanted to interject a sec, because I think in the magnet, then, so whatever we're thinking, we're bringing it to ourselves, which I think a lot of us can think about that and say, hey, that really happened. I was thinking negatively, and all of a sudden negative things started to happen. I mean, it's kind of, it is metaphoric.
Well, or if you, for example, have had a goal and it's just not happening, there's probably some driving force, undistinguished, that is preventing you from realizing your goal. It's like a fear that you have, like unbeknownst to you, a fear that you have is preventing you. It's like almost like you forgot to release the handbrake and you're driving your car. It's like something is preventing you from fulfilling that dream. And it takes assessment. It takes a review of your life, of your thoughts. Like you need to ask yourself, what thoughts have I been thinking? What has been my predominant thought? What have I been resisting, for example, is a good way to get access to it.
Right.
And you begin to uncover what's been in the way. Now, I can tell you with my show, for example, I can really see how, you know, I've had to create ways to generate income so that I can continue the show. And so I thought that I had to take my attention off the show and engage in other endeavors to generate income. And that hasn't been working for me because that has caused my attention to be split. And so I haven't been able to give the other activities and endeavors my full attention because I've had to keep my show in operation and put my attention there. And so it's diluted my energy and my efforts. And so what I realized was that I need to put 110% of my energy and focus on my show and ask the universe for answers. And in the program, the 11 Forgotten Laws, they refer to the acronym ASK. And it really stands for ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you.
And that's in the Bible too.
That's in the Bible, yeah. They refer to it from the Bible. And like I've really been thinking about that a lot because I realized that somewhere back a few months ago, I made the decision that I didn't think I could fulfill the dream I had for my show the way I was setting about it. And so I kind of stopped asking. I stopped seeking.
Really?
I stopped knocking, and I thought I had to go in another direction as a detour for me to get there. But I've realized now that simply doesn't work. And now that I'm putting my focus back 100%, 110% on my show and all the ideas I have for it, things are starting to happen.
Wow.
And like just last night, actually, over the past 3 or 4 days, I have really been stopped and stuck. Like I've been trying out certain things and like nothing was happening. I just couldn't, nothing, I wasn't getting the ideas I wanted and I wasn't seeing the results I thought I was going to get. Like everything was just, nothing was happening. And I actually went to the gym last night and I had a workout and I kept saying to myself, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. I kept thinking that. And it's almost like praying, right?
Right.
And I went for a workout and I remember walking out of the gym and this idea hit me. It's like a huge idea.
Wow.
I hadn't thought of it. And I thought, yes, that is the ticket. Now, you know, occasionally, like every few months when I really focus on thinking how I'm going to solve a problem, I get an idea like that. And so it's really reaffirmed for me that when you are up against a challenge on the path to fulfilling your dream, the answer is not to back away. The answer is to ask the universe for solutions and ideas. Now, I've known that. I have known that all along, and I've practiced it from time to time. But the point is that we're so programmed by past conditioning that when the challenge gets really big, we tend to back down. And so that's really the lesson I've learned. And that's like one of the metaphors begins with the letter U. And so the letter U stands for unknown. And it's being willing to step into the unknown, like to ask the universe, or, you know, however you describe it. Some people say they pray to God. I say I ask the universe for answers. And I regard the universe as having this huge satellite in the sky. I look at it like that. There's like this huge satellite in the sky, and I send messages through my subconscious mind to that satellite. And then I ask the satellite for answers, and then they come back in the form of these flashes. Mm-hmm. And so that is like training. That is like training that I believe all human beings who want to fulfill a dream need practice in. They need to gain mastery in that. And if you think about the way we are educated, nowhere in our schools is this taught anywhere.
No.
And so this is a fundamental skill. And people have read the book Think and Grow Rich. It's mentioned in there. It's really a vital skill set, and it takes courage because you don't know the outcome.
Yeah, I believe we're connected. You know, I say to God, and we're connected, and our spirit and soul is so powerful, and we're connected, and we do get answers, and we can pray. And it's amazing what you're saying, because I've been trying to do that for years. I do it. And it's funny how sometimes things are so loud and clear, and we always do get answers, like something will happen, or there's another, you know. And it's. Do you think sometimes you almost have to do that by yourself? I mean, kind of like, you know, a lot of people ask for everyone else's opinion when they're thinking of doing something, and get sidetracked, you know, and not really... I think what you were mentioning, though, like with the unknown and the magnet, there's a comfort level. I think the fear comes, people are just comfortable sometimes doing what they know they've always done, and then I think stepping into the unknown is just incredible to
get the
power.
Yeah, the domain of dream fulfillment is, it's like completely foreign to a comfort zone. You know, people can dwell in a comfort zone. There is no dream fulfillment in a comfort zone. By its very nature, to fulfill a dream, you need to step out of your zone of comfort. And I say that when you do that, you awaken the forces of serendipity and synchronicity. If you remain in your comfort zone, those powerful forces remain dormant. And so that is what keeps people stopped and trapped. They're not willing to step into that zone of discomfort, the unknown.
Oh, I've got to ask a question because I know you have more to go. I want to ask a question in the sense that you knew, it sounds like you were doing left brain, right brain work, right? We were in the financial markets, the degrees, a tax lawyer. Gosh, that took a lot of discipline to get 4 degrees and to go into that direction. And so you mentioned in the early 90s, I guess after the, yeah, I'm sorry, 2000, right after the millennium, that you started going in a different direction. You knew that wasn't what you wanted to do. Did you have to just slowly transition because of having to make sure you have money to do things, or did you kind of try to do both for a while?
I did. And what
I'm just asking, because a lot of people say, hey, I can't just change my life because I have bills to pay, or I have a family to take care of, or I can't switch yet. So I'm just wanting to put that in for our listeners.
So one of the major issues that I had to confront was that I had spent 8.5 years getting those 4 degrees, and I had spent all that time working as a tax lawyer, gaining that skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's almost like you invest in a stock, in the stock market, and the stock starts to go down. And you say to yourself, well, I've invested all this money. I'll wait for it to come back up. Meantime, you could sell the stock and invest it in a completely new stock, which is already on a growth path. So
right.
I essentially had to cut the cord from my past life and say, I really don't want to do that anymore. That is what has gotten me to where it got me. Thank you for getting me there. And now it's time for the next phase in my life. It was almost like ending a chapter and starting a new one.
Fantastic.
And yeah, it's, you know, I just said, I don't have forever on the planet, and life is not a dress rehearsal, and it's time to create from a new space, in a new space.
I love it. So you just said, that's fantastic, because I think we all have those, we desires, or we know in our heart, I really should be doing this or doing that sometimes. And so go ahead. Now I just wanted to interject that and that question. That was so got M for magnet, U for unknown.
Yeah, so the M is really the first one, and the U is the last one. Now, there are a few in between. Now, I'm going to deal with one or two depending on the time we have. But the key here is that everyone has a vision or a sense of what they would really love to be doing with their life. And I'm not saying, like, spend all your time on the beach drinking martinis.
Right.
I'm talking about
right.
making a difference, feeling a sense of fulfillment, being fully self-expressed. We all have a sense of what that looks like, but from where we are now, it looks like it's impossible to get there. And one of my favorite ways to visualize this is standing on one side of a river and knowing you want to be on the other side. And what separates you from where you want to be is this huge river. The water is gushing. The rocks are sharp. There are alligators and crocodiles in the river. And you think there's no way you can get to the other side. Now, the key here, and they make this point very strongly in the 11 Forgotten Laws, is that if you can think it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
Like, thought causes all. And there's this great quote that I extracted from the 11 Forgotten Laws. It's by U.S. Anderson. And he says, when we fully realize that thought causes all, we will know there are never any limits other than those we impose. So the only limits that are in our way are those we introduce into the equation. We can think, we have the capacity to think our way to the fulfillment of any dream we have. And we might not be able to do it on our own, but we can set in motion the thought processes. In other words, we can begin to magnetize our thoughts so that we begin to attract into our thinking the people, ideas, and circumstances and resources that are going to enable us to get what we want. So,
isn't that funny? It happens. Just like if somebody buys a car and all of a sudden they start seeing the car everywhere. They tend to or get into a certain hobby and you start seeing things everywhere. You know that it's
absolutely. Now the E in the series of metaphors stands for electric grid. If you think about electricity, you know, somebody discovered electricity way back when. It's actually an incredible phenomenon. You know, you can't really touch electricity. I mean, if you do, you'll get electrocuted. But isn't it fascinating to think about electricity, right? It's like this intangible force in the universe that really enables us to live the lives we live. Now,
and Edison was tried 1,000 times before. I mean, it just went on and on. And Ben Franklin, I guess, had something to do. You know, there. You think about the people that helped create these things. It was over and over and over and over. It wasn't just one thought and then boom, there it is, right? It was consistent. I mean, bringing it, don't you think? Bringing it to us, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interjected. I just thought of that right now because it was just a. Yeah. They didn't give up.
The key is that it's an intangible, and radio waves are very similar. When Marconi invented or thought of or discovered radio waves, they wanted to put him into a mental institution.
Isn't that sad? Yeah, it happens a lot. They think you're crazy.
Yeah.
When you're a pioneer, everyone thinks you're crazy. Until later, they go, wow, they were right. You know,
that's
later.
That's true. Right. Now,
Now
the thing about electricity is that if you really know how to harness electricity, you can build a home or a building, and when all the wires are connected, all you need to do is flip a switch or press a button and you light up the whole building, or you enable the whole building to have light. In other words, you connect what you have with the electric grid, and everything then becomes real. And so I regard this electric grid as a key thought to constantly have in my mind. And a few months ago, down the road from where I live, there was this completely blank plot of land. And one day I saw that they surrounded the plot with a fence. And the next day I saw they put a sign up. There's going to be an apartment building going up. And I watched this apartment building go up day by day. And it was incredible. I kept thinking to myself, the number of small little actions that had to be taken for this apartment building to go up. Like, for example, the guy who drove the bulldozer went to the deli to buy a bagel with cream cheese and coffee so that he would have the energy to work the bulldozer. Every little action ultimately created this beautiful finished building today. So that once the building was finished, they could flip a switch and they would be connected to the electric grid. Now, when I'm going through my life and I meet with a stumbling block or a setback or adversity or a challenge, I say to myself, well, I'm simply continuing to build this building and I'm not yet ready for the switch to be flipped, for the electricity to flow. I haven't yet figured out all the pieces that need to go into place. But the fact of the matter is that if I keep the end result in mind, that empowers me. It doesn't stop me. It doesn't set me back. I just know, okay, there's something else I need to figure out. Now, when you're building a building, you know, nowadays they know exactly how to do that. They've figured it all out. They create plans. But when you're on a path to fulfill a dream, you're still figuring it out. That's what makes it a little bit more challenging. But the key to bear in mind is that we are operating with intangible forces. And so if the threshold thought to empower us must be that, oh, I thought it, therefore I can do it. And then the next step is to keep figuring it out.
And it's, you know, think the end in mind, visualize it, and then work backwards. It's amazing how that works. And a lot of times I think we people get on a path and we think we want to do something, and then sometimes other things can change, and that can change over time too. But it's so important to go towards it. It's so invigorating to take the risks and take the chances and go, you know, and keep that in mind. It's wonderful.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there are times when you'll say you want X, and then you'll start going down that road and it'll become crystal clear to you that you no longer want X. Now, I don't say, you know, I for one advocate, if you really become clear that you don't want X, then you must switch to Y, because you were put on the path to fulfill X so that you can ultimately find Y.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so
that makes sense.
Like, the key is to really get in touch with your heart and really be in alignment and congruent with your deepest desires. And so like with my TV show, there have been times when I'll invite, say, seven or eight invitations, and I won't hear a word back. And I'll think, why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. I'm putting in all this effort. I'm not getting responses. And then I say, okay, I'm not going to do the show. And then I say, no, I have to do the show. I can't live without doing the show. So,
exactly.
So you see, you get in touch that way with what you really care about, what really matters to you. And
isn't it kind of like you get brought back to it, you know, when you try to get away from it and it's really supposed to do it, it just keeps popping up. It keeps happening. It's like, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. It just seems like if you really, I think that really works. It really happens.
Yeah, it's the cannot not do it phenomenon.
But, you know, I think you get that left brain may come in as business and entrepreneurs, and you go, wait a minute, well, I don't really have to close that down because I can still do that and make this work. But then you can't because, you know, it can definitely get confusing, it can get confusing, I think, in some ways, knowing which way to go.
It's not that we must abandon our left brain. It's that we must use our left brain so that we are furthering what our right brain wants or what our heart wants. Like with me and my show now, there's a lot of analytical information that I need to process. But the point is that it's on the path to the fulfillment of my dream. I'm not using my analytical brain to do like tax returns on the side, which is
right.
That would be
right.
Unrelated. I'm applying my analytical ability, like to look at data. How many people come to my website? What kinds of advertisements are getting clicks? That's
right.
Analytical processing that is furthering me on my path.
I love it.
Is like keeping that concept of the electric grid in mind and asking yourself, am I on the path? Have I got that vision in front of me of the completed building or the dream fulfilled? Am I continuing to investigate, to uncover all the steps I need to take? Am I determining what does work and what doesn't work? Like, that's really critical because you want to know that there's going to come a point in time when you're going to press a button and the equivalent of light is going to emerge. You know, the money will show up in your bank account because you pressed a button, but it takes all those preliminary steps to get to that point. But it's the belief system that knowing that day is going to come, that belief system keeps you on track.
I love it. Love it. So so we've got magnet, we M for magnet, U for unknown. Go through them because how we can do the rest of them that you wrote down. You picked about, a few of them.
Well, I've done two, and the next one is, we can do like another one or two.
We have about 15 minutes, so we're good. I just want to, because I want to kind of, and then that would be great.
All right. So the next one is T for train. Now, the reason I picked this one is because if you think of the person who organizes how the trains go, it's like a signal man. If you think of trains, for example, going into Grand Central Station in New York, somebody has to switch the tracks so that the train ends up on the right platform.
Right.
And so when we're on this path of fulfilling our dream and something happens that, like, we expected a result and we didn't get it. There are a lot of opportunities to get discouraged. There are a lot of opportunities to quit. There are a lot of opportunities to say, this isn't working. I need to find something else to do. And so it's in those moments when we have to be like signal people, signal men, signal women in our brains, and we need to switch the track. We need to switch our train of thought We need to switch the track. Our train of thought is going down. So if we find ourselves on a train of thought that says, this is never going to work. I should never have started this in the first place. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I need to go find a job and give up this dream. If we find ourselves on that train of thought, we need to, like, have some way of switching the track. And maybe, for example, we need to say, no, there's just one idea I need to find, and I then need to go and ask the universe for what it is, and I need to go and meditate. But we need to, like, switch to the path that is going to keep us on track. So this concept of thinking of our brain, thinking of the circuits in our brain as train tracks heading into a destination, we need to be able to change our thoughts with our thoughts. And another way to think of it is, you know, I live in a place called Eastchester, and if I find myself thinking thinking thoughts that I don't want to think, thinking disempowering thoughts, it's like I say to myself, all right, it's like I'm going to the station and I want to go to Manhattan, and the thoughts I'm thinking now are actually taking me in the opposite direction to White Plains. So I need
right.
to change my thoughts right now so that I end up in Manhattan. The bottom line is we need to be aware of what we're thinking, and then we need to take charge. We need to get into command. In other words, it's like we're riding a horse, and we are the jockey. The horse wants to go in a certain direction, but we hold the reins. And so we need to get command of our thoughts and steer them in the direction we want to go. So there was another metaphor in there that you probably picked up with a horse. I didn't include it in this series, but,
okay.
but it's there. It's
okay.
there. That's another way
awesome.
To look at it.
That is a good
one. Now, another one, the next one is the letter A, and that stands for airplane. Now, there's this quote by Henry Ford. It goes like this. When things are going against you, remember that an airplane, not with it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Now, I always think of that thought, think of that quote. Whenever I'm dealing with a major challenge, that is like one of the first thoughts that pops into my head. Like, yeah, if you want to take off, if you want to fly high, you have to go against the wind. Now, it's not only that, it's that in order for a plane to take off, it must reach its like fullest speed possible. It must be going absolutely full throttle. If it's going like less than a certain speed, it's not going to take off. And it has to be accelerating before liftoff. And so the key is when life is throwing you circumstances and it feels like you're up against it, it's not going to happen, you have to redouble your efforts. You have to strengthen your beliefs. You have to fortify your efforts, make them stronger, work faster, harder, because you are taking off against the wind. So
right.
that's a very, very powerful
I love it.
Metaphor.
I love it. That's fantastic. There's a tell us your websites again. It's newlawofattractionsecrets.com, right?
Yeah, that's the one on the law of attraction. Now, for listeners who are interested in the program, the 11 Forgotten Laws, on the homepage of that website, if they scroll down to the bottom, there's an image of the 11 Forgotten Laws program.
Mm-hmm.
And all they need to do is click on that image, and they'll get to the page where it's described. Now, the actual sales letter for the program is out of date. It was written about 3 or 4 years ago, and for some reason they haven't updated it. The point about this program is I personally think it's one of the most powerful programs I've ever obtained. And to me, it's pure gold. And I don't know why they're not marketing it properly, but this program, if the secret was the blockbuster it was, I think this program is 10 times more
powerful.
Wow.
That's
so
amazing.
It's like a hidden secret, this program, in and of itself.
Yeah.
And so as I said, I've been listening to it over and over again, and it's really getting me in touch with the dimension beyond what I see with my eyes. And in fact, in the program, Bob Proctor talks about how eyes can deceive us. For example, if we look up a train track, it looks like the tracks are coming together in the distance. You know, if you look up the train track,
right,
two sides come together. And it's not happening. It doesn't happen. But our eyes tell us that that's what happens. And if we look at a ship on the horizon, the further away from the shore it sails, it looks like it's getting smaller and it's disappearing. But it's not doing that. It's staying the same size. So our eyes can deceive us, and we need to tap into our inner eye, our inner vision, and stay true to that vision so that we can fulfill what we want. And it all stems from, A, having the thought that it's possible, and then, B, stay true to that thought.
I love it. It's wonderful. We're listening to Clive Swirsky. This is Natalie Mullenix with Real Universal Radio. I just love it. And I know, talking right now, the holiday times, there are people out there that are going through depression and issues, and people have passed away, and you don't have your loved ones with you. And, you know, it's holiday times is a great time, and I know for some people it can be a really difficult time. And I think that I just wanted to mention that training our brain, retraining our thoughts is really so powerful and really does work. There are times in our life when we're going to have grief or depression from other things. I mean, it's always good to check with a doctor and check with, professionals to make sure there aren't chemical issues going on, etc. But there's also times where people are just going to get down. And I think it's important to mention, too, that some things take time to get through, but if you still stay focused on your vision and try to work with your thoughts, you can still get through it and eventually still get to what Clive's talking about. Do you agree? I mean, kind of in a way, to people are going to have life while they're making their missions and their plans, life is going to happen, right? And sometimes life can take you down.
I see that a lot. And, you know, I'm in two minds about this. Because I was on a call the other day with some friends of mine, and it was around Thanksgiving. And one of the people on the call was lamenting how her life had gone the way it had gone. Like, there'd been a divorce, and she hasn't been in communication with one of her children. And it was all like sadness. There was just pure sadness in that conversation. What's that?
No, I'm listening.
So I thought, you know, what's this thinking that I apply to situations and thinking about how we can take command of our thoughts. If I have a thought of sadness, one way to go about exploring that is saying to myself, well, why am I sad about this? Now, I'm not saying that we need to become robots, but
right. But
every time we have a thought, we have the capacity to examine that thought. Now, culturally, we've grown up with certain expectations, and when those expectations are not met, we get sad. But that's like a cultural phenomenon. Really, as human beings, we have the capacity to create any thought we want on the spur of the moment. Even the most devastating of circumstances we can generate the thoughts that will empower us. And one of the examples that I often refer to is, if I am walking down the street, let's say I've just gotten into my tuxedo and I'm about to go to a wedding, and I have, let's say, my significant, my partner on my arm, and she's in a beautiful dress, and it's been raining, and a cab comes by and goes over a puddle,
oh, no.
A muddy puddle.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help laughing.
That splatters me and my partner in mud, right? Our natural default reaction is to get angry and upset. It's like our conditioning.
But it's not necessary.
It's not like mandatory that we get upset.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if we were watching that in a movie, in a comedy, we'd be laughing. Like you laughed when I gave you that example.
Right.
So in any, no matter what is going on. Now, I'm not a mental professional. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I don't, you know, whatever I'm saying is my own personal belief system. I'm not advocating this. You know, if people are mentally troubled, they do need to seek professional counseling. But this is how I live my life. I say to myself, well, if I check in with my emotions and I ask myself, well, why am I feeling that feeling? And because of the way I've been programmed culturally in society, like in our culture, when somebody dies, we are supposed to be sad. In other cultures, people celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about.
This has been so much. This has been great. This again, Clive Skorsky, and host and producer of the Live with Clive TV show, and you are amazing, 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 amazing. I love it. It's just so. Do you find meditation as good too? To listen to tapes or music or to kind of meditate with your thoughts.
I personally, it's like one of my rituals to go for a walk every single day, around about midday. And it's like my time. If I don't go on that walk, I start to get agitated. And it just enables me to check in with how the day has been going so far. And then it enables me to, like, assess what I'm going to do for the rest of the day. And I go on that walk. I usually take an apple, and I chew on the apple. And while I'm chewing on the challenges I'm dealing with, and I ask the universe, I need solutions. And usually by the time I get back from the walk, I'm always in a much better frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I feel great. And I usually have ideas. I usually have solutions to the issues that I was addressing when I started out on that walk. So, you know, you mentioned some people get depressed. I would say, the most important thing for anybody to do during the day is to go for a walk. I agree.
Walks
it's essential.
Are great.
I agree.
Yeah.
Or a workout, but a walk, definitely.
I agree. This has just been fantastic. Gosh, I want to hear all the rest of them, and we don't have time. You picked it up.
Well, if anybody wants to know the rest of them, they can send me an email. Clive@alivewithclive.tv.
Okay, Clive@alivewithclive.tv. Okay.
I'll be happy to share them.
I love it. Oh, we have to have you back. This has been just so enlightening. I'm going to look at the 11 Forgotten Laws with Bob Proctor. That sounds like
Bob
a fantastic
Proctor and Mary
script.
Morrissey, yeah. Great program.
And they can go to, you've got your website, newlawofattractionsecrets.com. And
yeah,
go there
it's
and find
there
it
on
as
the
well.
Homepage at the bottom.
Awesome. And then alivewithclive.tv for the, you know, you've got singers that want to, can they contact you if they want to get on the show?
Absolutely. Same email, clive@alivewithclive.tv.
That's fantastic. I love it. Can do that anywhere. So, you know, you can do it anywhere from all over the world, right?
Yeah. They come on the show, and then the show is shown all over the world on the internet.
So do they have to actually come to New York, or?
Yeah,
they have to come to
White Plains. They must come to the studio.
Okay. Well, I love it. It's fantastic. Well, we are just about at the end of the show. I guess we're going to,